All right. Very good. So, Mike, let's take a little bit of time to talk about the market, where we are, and sort of maybe just touch on a little bit about how we continue to service our listings, help sellers get listings on the market, and then also work with home buyers.
I think that's very poignant and very relevant right now, Scott. Absolutely, because I think there's so many people thinking, can I buy a home in this environment? Can I sell a home in this environment? And the short answer is yes, you absolutely can. And I think in kind of demystifying a lot of the data that's out there, you know, just from the standpoint that the market is still moving, that's what we're experiencing locally.
Absolutely. And you know, before we came online on the Zoom, you and I were having a conversation about some home buyers that you recently worked with. You are an ELP with the Dave Ramsey organization. You facilitate some Dave Ramsey classes and content here in Charlotte, obviously virtual these days. So if you don't mind, talk a little bit about those buyers and why they decided to purchase. And these are very smart and educated buyers, obviously following the Dave Ramsey program, very judicious with their money. You know, they make smart financial decisions. So if you don't mind, talk about that.
No, absolutely. And being part of the Dave Ramsey organization and first going through Financial Peace over 10 years ago, there's fundamental principles there that don't change no matter what climate we're currently in. Being out of debt, you know, savings, putting your money to work for you, and being judicious so that you're a giver out in the community. Those are principles that don't change no matter what the climate is. And these particular buyers are, you know, very well educated. They were first-time home buyers. They had no debt. They had a big savings, and they're able to negotiate better terms on their mortgage. Following the Dave Ramsey program, they went with a 15-year mortgage. They put down over 20%, and they were able, the whole goal with that is to leverage, you know, having leverage and not putting all of the money, and, 100% of their own cash, but also leveraging such low interest rates. In this case, they got a ridiculously low interest rate. And the thought is, let me pay this off as quickly as possible. But the reason they decided to move forward was simply that they were in an 800 square foot apartment. And they want to grow a family. They have a beautiful pup, and the pup, they had to walk every single day. They didn't have a yard. They didn't have it fenced. They didn't have, they were in a great location where the apartment was, which is awesome. But they found that they could get an equally awesome location, close to work, and you know, all the benefits that having a home would provide to them. And in the end, made a decision for more livable space, sure, if you will, and being in the location closer to, you know, where they felt comfortable long term. So they felt like it was a solid investment. And for them, they looked at the COVID-19 response, and they decided that, you know, we're in a position that irrespective of what's going on, we would still need our leases coming up for renewal. We have to make a choice. Do we want to continue to rent, or do we want to put our money to work for us? And historically, as we know, since 1978 in the metro Charlotte, North Carolina area, we've had 1% appreciation per quarter, 4% a year. So they decided that it was better than the stock market, it was better than continue to rent. So they put it in to work for their primary residence. And that's the reason they move forward.
Yeah, fantastic point. I'm glad you shared that. I think a lot of folks, not all, but I think a lot of folks just assume with the current events that we're dealing with COVID-19 here on April 15th, is that, you know, everything stops. And that's just not that's not what we're seeing. You know, certainly we're seeing fewer listings come onto the market, which that also means the listings that are on the market are getting more looks online or virtually, or if they're vacant, they're getting more physical looks. But you made this point, which I think it bears repeating, is these clients that you're explaining, their lifestyle, their needs as a family were really what they're steadfast on, right? They weren't basing their decision the long-term decision on a short-term problem.
You couldn't have said it better. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, this is a long-term, it's, I mean, yes, your home is an investment for, you know, to a certain degree. However, it's more of an investment in your family or your lifestyle than anything else, right?
1,000% agreed. And, you know, we took a listing, conversely, from a seller's mindset this just yesterday, April 14th. We had all the paperwork signed and we're going live here by, you know, this upcoming week. And she ultimately decided that, you know, she wants to be close to her family in Denver, Colorado. And it was just one of those things where it was like, you know, I know what's going on in the market, but I feel like right now, based on what I've seen, and then the research collaborated with this, that, you know, the inventory is very low, very scant inventory in this neighborhood. The ones that are in this neighborhood sell very quickly and typically have more than one look to look at. So, you know, right now we're not able to physically show properties that have someone living there. In this case, she is moving out of the home and it is going to be vacant property. So in this case, we are able to show it, but we're using other technologies such as the Matterport technology we've adopted, the virtual tour technology we've adopted, and all of the other physical, you know, physical tools that we can use for a virtual world.
Yeah.
So we're using physical Zoom. Photography, Zoom, virtual open houses for this new virtual world. And we don't know when this is
for electronic signatures. Yeah,
absolutely.
And
so, but the reason that she moved was the same. She wanted to be close to family. That doesn't change. People move for a variety of reasons. And going back to the earlier point is the market is still moving. I think the number of pendings or written contracts will decrease. I think that's a likelihood because we've had a buildup from the past 3 months and then going forward. But I think the, you know, I think we had a phenomenal Q1 and I think Q2 is going to dip. But, you know, I think this is somewhat of a blip in the market. To me, it feels...
Dip. Do you mind me just, let me just, what I don't believe will happen, let me just say where, obviously I work out of the South Park office, you know, so a lot of the areas where we sell in is South Park, you know, Cotswold, Myers Park, Dilworth, Elizabeth, Plaza Midwood, you know what I mean? Sort of. And I really think, I don't feel like we're going to, when you say dip, I think we're going to see a dip in inventory.
In inventory. Yes. That's what I'm,
I'll tell you what I'm not seeing, obviously it remains to be seen, but I don't feel we're going to see a dip in pricing difference, dramatic pricing difference.
No. And I think the headline might be, and this is what I want to make sure it's a public service announcement we're trying to provide here, is that home values are decreasing. I think that's the biggest mistake that a headliner can make. It sells newspapers, but what they're really not saying is that the rate of appreciation we mentioned earlier is 4% since 1978. The appreciation this year might be 2.5.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah. We're just not on this trajectory. It's more like this. Right?
More like that, yeah.
And maybe that might result in a little more of a balanced market as we get into midsummer, you know, maybe more balanced with that. What hopefully that would mean is we'll have, maybe for the buyers that are in the marketplace, they'll have a few more options.
Absolutely. And then the other piece is there's a real likelihood that there might be a rebound effect from, we don't know how sharp the V is, but I think everyone from the economist standpoint feel like that the V is the recovery bounce back, and it may be this surge of activity for all this pent up demand of people being inside the home. And of course, we're sensitive to the fact, I mean, Scott, you and I both, of people that are furloughed right now. And, you know, there's some activity in the marketplace that, you know, we're all trying to fight the curve and staying home and doing what we can to control this, because this is an uncontrollable, unprecedented event, of course. But what we're seeing locally in the housing market is that people are still wanting to buy, still wanting to sell, and we get on the other side of this and we feel like that, you know, it's really going to rebound, you know, potentially in a huge way, but time will tell us, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. So obviously you touched on this. So for physical showings of vacant property, we're taking all the CDC guidelines very seriously with respect to social distancing. We are supplying the antibacterial wipes and the shoe booties and masks that are as needed. But you know, we're letting our clients drive this, right? It's what they want to do. You know, if their buyers that are, they're, they have enough of a need to want to get out and look at property, then we'll make the necessary accommodations so we do it safely.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100% agreed. And, you know, I think right now the market update as we speak is we're in the spring market, and there are people that are either hitting the pause button because of personal circumstance, or they want to get on the other side of what they perceive is going on now. And then we have folks that absolutely are moving forward irrespective of it. And maybe it's because we're over the shock of, okay, I'm at home, but I still need a place to live. I still want a better school district going to the early point of lifestyle. I still want to upgrade, or I want to downsize, or I want to be closer to the grandkids, or I want to be XYZ.
Yep. Let me just say one thing real quick. I have a client that referred me. This is a client that moved down from New York City last year, and they referred me someone just yesterday who is also moving down from New York City. They want to go ahead and sell. They have a tremendous amount of equity on their condo in New York. They're going to go ahead and transact that, sell it, and then move it down here to Charlotte. And they're going to spend about half as much as what they're going to sell for up in New York and pay about a third of the property tax that they were paying in New York. So for them, it's a pretty easy decision so long as they're ready to move out of the city.
I absolutely couldn't agree more. And Charlotte is such a great place to live. I mean, when you talk about $20,000, $30,000 in property tax bill and coming from New York, you know, depending on the property value in the county and municipality, to here, it's a fraction of that. I mean, a fraction. Mm-hmm. Quality of lifestyle, continuing people's businesses and people moving here. This might very well be the straw that broke the camel's back in some of those markets where they're paying such exorbitant fees and taxes to go ahead and say, you know, I want to move somewhere like Charlotte. That's just a cool place to live and great people, great culture, great growing city. I want to be a part of that. Yeah. I think we might actually have more of an uptick, and I'm not suggesting we're completely insulated, but even, you know, amidst all of this, we're still people moving here because they want to be close for the reasons you mentioned and otherwise. So I think it's awesome. That's a great example.
Absolutely. And he has already been accepted for a job at Lowe's. And even during this COVID, I mean, you pull up to a Lowe's at any point over the past few weeks, they're packed.
It is packed.
I mean, I don't think their model is hurting any given the COVID event. Yeah.
No, 1,000% agreed. So
he's going to be in the technology side. As you know, they're relocating their headquarters to South End. So that was an opportunity he saw, and he took it. But they're looking forward to getting down here to Charlotte for sure. The weather, many other reasons.
Yeah. No more shovels.
Right. Yeah. So I also, you know, you touched another thing you touched on a few minutes ago. I just want to bring up. A lot of why I'm going to ask you this question, and I have a few answers as well. Why is this different than 2008, Mike?
Wow, that is a great question. I think 2008, from an economic standpoint, was more of an L shape. It went down and stayed flat. I think all the economic indicators leading into this event is that it's going to bounce back. And that it's going to, you know, recover. And, you know, out of the 25 years of data, you know, tracking recessions out of the five that have happened, 2008 is the biggest one that sticks out of the mind because it's the most frequent, the last one that happened. Yeah. And that was directly correlated to the housing crisis. That's not the case now. I think the first thing we saw with, is lending guidelines tighten up quite a bit. And a lot of the grant programs and the lower credit score programs instantly tightened up. I think a lot of the adjustable rates that were resetting in the shadow inventory that was caused in the years that followed 2008 aren't on the horizon now. I think we learned a lot of lessons from 2008, and the banks adopted, you know, these stricter guidelines then so that people could afford and continue to stay in the home, you know, from that standpoint. Also, from everything that we're seeing, 2008, there were people folding up shop. In this case, I think the government acted very quickly in supporting big business with the stimulus package and with the CARES Act. I feel like in 2008, it was so delayed that it really went spiraling, very quickly.
With 2008, the fundamentals were so out of whack. I mean, as housing, the housing industry right? With respect to lending guidelines were very lax. And then those bad mortgages were then being sold and resold on the stock market. Yep. And people had very little equity. I mean, if you think, consider where we were then, and that was a housing crisis. What we're in now is a medical crisis.
That's a great point.
It relates because, you know, lives are being lost, sadly. People are being furloughed. I feel like once the curve flattens, we start to bounce back and get back to some level of normalcy. The beauty of it is, with regard to the housing market, people have more equity than they've had in a long, long time in their homes. People are not anywhere near upside down. In 2008, they were upside down. I mean, to a lesser degree in certain areas than others. Charlotte, once again, weathered the storm quite well in 2008, but by no means was Charlotte hit like areas in Florida, California, New York, DC, right? Because we weren't seeing gains like this. Like we were slow, more slow and steady, right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to interject with that point is, you know, we're very well capitalized as homeowners living here
in
Charlotte.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. And with the lending guidelines, I mean, they changed quite a bit. I mean, there were so many bad practices then. When the Dodd-Frank Act, you know, was passed, there was the ninja loans. You remember those? There were the no income, no job, no, you know, you could fog a mirror and get a loan. Well, those haven't existed since that time period.
Yeah.
So the true, you know, as you mentioned, the collateralized debt, you know, the one they put together and then packaged up and resold these tranches of different categories of loans. They were, I mean, absolutely bad positions to be in. We don't have that same practice today. And I love the way you put it. It's a medical crisis we're under now that we feel like that things are starting to shift. And, you know, I think people staying at home and following the guidelines and the practices are a huge piece of that. And I think we'll get on the other side of this
I totally agree. We're in total support of doing whatever we need to do as a family, as individuals, as a company to flatten the curve, right?
Yep.
So we're all, you know, we're doing the CDC guidelines. We're staying at home. We're just doing a lot more business virtually. Although we are still busy. We're still working with buyers and sellers in a little of a different manner, if you will.
Absolutely.
One thing I want to touch on before we close it down, the conversation. So you and I are big proponents of small business, right? We do a lot to really, not only in a COVID crisis, but we try to support our local neighborhood shops and restaurants and cafes as often as we can. You know, do you have any thoughts or advice? I mean, I've partnered with a few local restaurants here to show my support to them. Because I know they're, you know, I have a few clients that are restaurant owners and they're having a tough go of it. And then they're really saddened to have to furlough, their employees. So is there anything that you've done or you're looking to do to help support the local businesses that you tend to like to rally around?
Well, absolutely. We 1,000% support local business, and because that's what makes the economy grow and thrive. And it's sad to see so many people furloughed, and I'll echo that same sentiment. I think what we've tried to do is, with that understanding, embrace local as opposed to the national chains. And so what we've done is set up a private Facebook group for local businesses in our suburb, and that, you know, either curbside restaurant pickup that is offerings to local businesses that are part of the construction work that can still do work on the outside of people's homes or potentially inside. To, you know, just a variety of different services that businesses are still considered essential that people may need or want during this time period, particularly restaurants and the local shops. I think those are the ones that we've, you know, rallied around and tried to help. The ones that still have their doors open, we've tried to promote their services to our groups, as well as just supporting them with our own dollars, you know, our personal family, you know, shopping
and
taking care of them, spreading the word.
Right. Definitely. We get takeout at least three nights a week. Yeah. And we just sort of rotate around, you know, okay, what do you guys want now? and all of them are local, and certainly restaurants where we enjoy their food. And when we go in to visit, the employees are always, you know, so kind. So yeah. I'll tell you a promotion that I did. I've done a few recently. I partnered with the Pizza Peel in Cotswold, Will Bigham, the owner. He owns the Flying Biscuit. The name of his organization is Stomp, Jump, and Roll. And it's the Flying Biscuit. It's three pizza peels. And what we've done with the Cotswold location is, you know, for the people in the immediate vicinity of the restaurant, we've sent out a coupon to, entice someone to go to the Pizza Peel and get takeout. What Will has done, which is really cool and creative, is he's created these pizza making kits. So, you know, it has the dough, and that's a good way to engage the kids or the family to get together and make a pizza. And then he's gone live on Instagram with training videos as to how to cook the pizza, whether it is you're using your household oven or on the grill. It's really cool. It's really neat to see businesses pivot and do things a little differently, you know, to obviously he wants to do everything he can to support his employees and keep his employees busy. Right. And absolutely. So it's another way to potentially capture more business that's lost in that they're not able to have customers come inside and sit down. Right.
Yeah. I've definitely seen an uptick on social from the restaurant standpoint of people that are owners that are jumping on saying, you know, hey, we're running a special. Hey, we're on DoorDash and Uber Eats. You know, hey, we can deliver it to you. We've upped their delivery service if they didn't have it before, or curbside, you could just drive right up and we'll drop it off to you with gloves on. And, you know, this won't be any different in terms of the experience of the food. So I agree with you. I've seen those businesses pivot as well. And absolutely. It's nice to hear. I know that Pizza Peel, they have great pizza. So I could see the local pizza kit. That sounds like a great idea.
Oh, absolutely. And then I noticed there was something else. There's another, I'll just point it out real quick. This is pretty cool. Laura sent it to me this morning. Trees Charlotte for Earth Day. They're giving away free tree seedlings as a promo next Monday at the following restaurants. Like you go there, you pick up a tree, you order your takeout and you get a free tree seedling. And there's, you know, let's face it, a lot of people are doing a lot of gardening at home these days, right? Amelie's French Bakery in Noda, Park Road, and Carmel Commons locations, Birdsong Brewing, Bricks Pizza, Dilworth, Foxcroft, and Blakeney, Legion Brewing, Plaza Midwood, and South Park locations, Old Mech Brewing, Sabor, Noda, South Park locations, Unknown Brewing Company, and Wooden Robot South End location. So obviously with the breweries, they're set up so you can place an order in advance and go pick up, you know, if you like their beer, you go by and pick it up. And if you go for next Monday on Earth Day, then you'll walk away with a tree seedling that you can plant in your yard.
That is phenomenal. This is very poignant. We're putting this out. I think that is a phenomenal idea. So I hope, I'll be hoping to pick up a tree next week.
I know, me too. Sounds cool. Good stuff. Absolutely. So, anyway, thanks for the time, Mike. And just a little market update, housing market update, catch up, if you will.
Absolutely.
We'll be doing more of these as we continue to just inform people, give them the facts with respect to what's going on in the marketplace and hear about a few. You know, here's some positive stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Some positive news and some good energy. Yep.
No, 1,000%. I think keeping our mindset during this time period and focusing on, you know, the things that we can control is certainly a part of a daily routine. So, you know, getting our meds in, not the physical med, but the meditation or prayer and exercise, diet and sleep and the things we can control. Those are critical. Absolutely. During this time period as well.
I love that acronym. That's fantastic. Yeah. And another thing that, you know, if you really tune in and focus on what you personally have control over, you're better equipped to manage what you don't have control over. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Scott, this is great. We will do it again. I'm really glad we had a chance to jump on this call today. And I hope this provides value to the audience. And, you know, just know that Scott and I are always here to help and navigate these times together. So we're a collaborative group, and we like to always provide value and be here and be of service. So
we're here for. Absolutely. Yeah. So Mike Hagee, I'm Scott Pridemore with Pridemore Properties. Thanks. And until next time.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.